What's up, everybody? It's BoardWrestlingFan.com. And it's myself, Think So Joe, your regular host, along with Justin Ruff. And today we've got a very, very special guest. It's a big day for us. This is our first interview with an actual pro wrestler. By the way, don't ask me how that Brodus Clay clip got started playing in the beginning. I have no idea. But we're here with the Dragon's Gate USA Open the Freedom Gate champion, Johnny Gargano. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a big honor to be the first wrestler you've ever interviewed. I mean, come on.
Hey, we're glad to have you.
You can call me a wrestler. I mean, I'm kind of a wrestler, I think. So, yeah, that's a good start.
Are you a sports entertainer, or are you a wrestler?
I think I'm fairly entertaining at certain points, but I think I'm a professional wrestler.
All right. Now we got the terminology.
Just wanted to, again, thank you for coming on the show today, Johnny, and, you know, the fact that not only do we have our first interview of a wrestler, but that we have Dragon's Gate champion, former AIW champion, former campeón de parejas in Chicago with us. It is a very, very big pleasure to have you with us. So just once again wanted to thank you for being on the show here with us.
You forgot something there.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
You forgot something there, Justin. He's the former Liechtenstein champion.
Oh, I still am.
You still are?
I still am. That title is not lost.
You never. That's right. You did not lose it.
That title is still hanging up on my mantle in my summer home in Liechtenstein. So I didn't lose that. That title is not on the line. Not a championship match. So, I mean, I still got that belt.
That's right. If anybody's wondering what I'm talking about and what Johnny's talking about, Johnny was on an episode of SmackDown leading up to WrestleMania 23, where he wrestled as Cedric Von Housen, and he took on MVP. In the storyline at the time, MVP was taking on champions from all over the world to prepare for United States champion Chris Benoit at WrestleMania. So, was that really your first kind of national exposure?
It kind of was. I was 19 years old, which is really crazy when you think about it, at the time. There's a funny story behind that whole ordeal. Basically, SmackDown, or WWE, was in town, and I was helping run the Cleveland All-Pro Wrestling Training School at the time, and guys like Gregory Iron and Matthew Justice and Bobby Beverly and guys like that were training at the time. And I came to training that day because we had training every Tuesday night, and that's when SmackDown was taping. And no one else showed up because everyone decided they were going to go see the show. So I was basically at this training school, laying in the ring by myself, laying there doing nothing because I was like, oh, no one showed up. And I actually fell asleep. And I fell asleep in the ring, and all of a sudden I hear my mom running down the steps. And then she's yelling like, Johnny, Johnny, Johnny. Apparently my phone was left on vibrate because WWE tried to call my cell phone. They tried to call my house phone. They tried to call everything. They finally called the house phone, left a voicemail saying they needed me down, and they wanted me down there for SmackDown. So my mom came running down the steps like, Johnny, you're going to be on SmackDown tonight. And I was like, what? Like, that's what? Like, what are you talking about? Am I dreaming? Because I just woke up. I was like, what's going on? So then we had to rush home. I had to grab my stuff. We had to rush down to the queue. I didn't know what to do at that point. Being 19 years old, I wasn't really sure the protocol or how to work for WWE or do anything like that because it was my first time doing it. So I tried to walk in the front door with my gear. Not a good idea. I don't think you can get in like that. So if there's any special wrestlers listening out there, don't go through the front door where all the fans are with your gear, because you're probably not going to get in. But eventually, I ended up going in the right door. They had my name on the list. I went down there, introduced me to everyone, and went through everything, and everything seemed cool. Everyone was really friendly, like they always are, especially to a 19-year-old kid who had no idea what he was doing. And then they're like, okay, so we got through the match, and they're like, okay, we're going to take you to wardrobe. I was like, oh, wardrobe, that's weird. I got my own stuff, but sure, why not? And we went over to wardrobe, and they pulled out this elf costume, and they explained to me I was going to be a Liechtenstein heavyweight champion, Cedric Von Housen. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's something. So they put me on the get-up. They had to, like, alter it for me. Did all that. I was changing right next to the Divas as well, which was horribly embarrassing, but still. And then after they put me all dolled up, elfed up, and all that good stuff, and they said, okay, we're going to take you to go see Vince. And I was like, what? Like, yeah, we're going to take you to go see Vince. So they took me into Vince McMahon's office, dressed like Cedric Von Housen, an elf. I walked in, and it was like one of those evil mastermind, because, like, the chair was turned, and he was, like, facing the wall reading a paper, and when I walked in, the chair like swiveled around. So like he had like a paper and he like swiveled around and like he rolled the paper and there he was, and I was like, oh wow, there's Vince McMahon. And he looked at me and he was really friendly, honestly. He thanked me for doing it, said I looked great, and just, you know, he was really friendly and just very appreciative that I was doing it. And I was like, oh, that's cool, that's awesome. Being a 19-year-old kid, I could have probably retired right there, because after the match, I came through the curtain, Vince McMahon said, good job, kid. And hearing Vince McMahon tell you you did a good job, I mean, for a 19-year-old kid, again, that's, I could have retired right there, and I probably would have done more than probably a lot of professional wrestlers got the chance to do. So yeah, there's a story of Cedric Van Housen. And I think also that night, Paul London told me a story about how he was an extra for the very first time. If you remember this, I can't remember what was on, but he was a fan who got punched by Ric Flair. He was wearing the Stone Cold Steve Austin hat, and he's wearing like a, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt and a Nike hat, and he told me that he really liked the Nike hat, but they said, okay, yeah, you got to give us the Nike hat back, but you can keep the Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt. So he was really upset about that. So yeah, Paul London tried to make me feel better about stories about his first time wrestling for WWE as well, so when he was younger. So there you go.
So you're 19 years old. You come through the curtain.
Story there.
Yeah, you're 19 years old. You come through the curtain, and you're out there, and you're in Lederhosen, or as you called it, an elf suit. You know, I mean, and you're in a presumably sold out arena for SmackDown leading up to WrestleMania. I mean, you know, that's got to be just like the coolest thing ever, you know, right?
It was. It really was. Like standing in gorilla position, like dressed like that, and just like looking at everyone who was in gorilla, which was like Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, Arn Anderson, all the agents, guys like that who are legends, and just standing there like, okay, wow, this is actually happening. And we watched, like, I think The Condemned was coming out at the time, so we all watched The Condemned trailer together. And I don't know why that particularly sticks in my mind, but it was just such a surreal moment standing in gorilla position with Stephanie and Vince and all these people that are like, oh wow, these people right here. And like watching stuff, and it's just a really surreal moment. It's really cool for me, and you know, something that I always wanted to do. So you know,
that's awesome. I know you had another WWE experience more recently, but I'm going to let Justin take over for a little while and ask you more about your career on the Indies, Dragon's Gate USA, and everything else you've done.
Yeah, well, you know, I have studied you for a little while now, ever since I started getting into indie wrestling a little bit more. So, you know, I know a little bit about Johnny the wrestler, but what made you get into wrestling?
I honestly say probably I genuinely enjoy entertaining people. If you watch that video that Dragon Gate USA released about my childhood, about everything coming back, it's very, very true. I genuinely enjoyed entertaining people. When I was a small child, I'd go to a movie or I'd watch a TV show, and I'd immediately want to recreate what I just watched. If I go see Dennis the Menace, I'd come home and I'd dress like Dennis the Menace and act like Dennis the Menace. If I'd watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'd dress like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Power Rangers, dress like a Power Ranger. Aladdin, dress like Aladdin, watch the movie and try and recreate it. I just love characters, and I love doing anything I possibly can to put a smile on people's faces. That's something that I really, really enjoy. And unfortunately, in this day and age, you cannot be Aladdin, and you cannot be Dennis the Menace, and you cannot be a Power Ranger, and you can't be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle as your real-life job. I don't know why. I think that'd be amazing if I could be a Power Ranger in real life. But unfortunately, I can't be. So I figure the next best thing is to be a real-life kind of superhero, kind of like superhero brought to life in professional wrestling. You can be a over-the-top character, and you can entertain people, and you can have that athletic aspect along with the entertainment aspect and put those together, and you can do something cool with professional wrestling.
All right, and I heard about the story because, you know, I went to the great source of truth that is Wikipedia, and I heard about the story of when you were an eight-year-old kid and decided to get in the ring, and they let you go, you know, play around in the ring, and so it's kind of been one of, you know, kind of came very early and very natural for you?
I'd like to think so. Probably not. If I watched my tapes back in the day when I was little, I'd say that's awful. But at the time, I thought I was really good. Probably not, though. Wikipedia is awesome, though. I just like to say, Wikipedia is amazing because anyone can write anything about anything, and you always know you get the most pertinent information. It says, I think my Wikipedia says I was born in Lakewood, which is completely false. I was never born in Lakewood.
I'm looking at it right now.
For anyone who was ever going to visit my Wikipedia, I was not born in Lakewood, Ohio. I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. So there you go.
I'm going to edit it right now for you.
I picked it up fairly naturally, but I probably didn't. I think I just started at such a young age where I was able to develop a lot quicker than most people, because most people start at 18, most people start at 21, most people start later on, and I started learning things at 8. So I had a much longer time to learn things and pick things up than most people get a chance to.
Yeah, so I know that you've been around a while and you fought in some different promotions, you know, AIW, Shikara, Dragon's Gate, Cleveland All Pro Wrestling, and I know that you faced a lot of pretty big names. You know, like you faced Tyler Black, Daniel Bryan, the new Yes Man. You know, some great international names like Great Sasuke, Atlantis, which I'm a big Lucha fan. So when I saw Atlantis, my heart skipped a few beats. You know, I'm going to talk to somebody who once wrestled Atlantis. But who would you say are some of the most memorable names for him?
You probably named a lot of them right there. I'd say, without a shadow of a doubt, my favorite person I've ever had a chance to wrestle, without any question, is Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. Because the way I think the indies are going nowadays, there's not a lot of guys who are like dudes you can learn from and dudes you can take something away when you wrestle them. Bryan Danielson, I learned something every single time I was in the ring with Bryan Danielson, and he is one of the most humble, great people you are ever going to find in the world. And he, a lot of people asked me before I was going to wrestle him, why is he the best wrestler in the world? And I had no real answer to that. I was just like, he just is. You don't truly realize how great, how amazingly great a guy is until you wrestle him. And being in the ring with Bryan Danielson, I can honestly tell you, he is the best wrestler in the world. No doubt about it in my mind.
Wow. Great compliment right there. I know that you have had some back issues recently, and I know this is kind of important to me because, you know, I have as well. Can you kind of maybe talk about what you've been through recently and your recovery there?
Yep. Well, earlier on in my career, I had a back problem as well. Back when I was kind of running my family.
That was during Pro Wrestling Ohio? Was that?
Yes, that was like 3 years ago, in a way. 3 years ago, I had back problems. My left leg is actually shorter than my right leg, so I wear an instep in my left shoe. We did not figure this out at the time, so I was out for like 6 months when that actually happened. But this time, what happened was, that was kind of a factor as well. The way my body's built is kind of like awkward and lopsided, but you can't tell. But I mean, I guess that's a normal thing for most people. A lot of people have this problem, but because of the sport I do and because of the athletics that I do, it acts up more for me than most people. In this sense, I had a bunch of torn muscles in my lower back and upper back. My left leg was shorter than my right, so my pelvis was tipped a little bit, which was like making my spine a little arch, which was like affecting discs and whatnot, like nerve damage. I still do have nerve damage in my lower back. I can't feel anything really in one certain area, and I think that's just going to take like a year to heal, because nerve damage is sucky and it takes a long time to heal. I'm also vitamin D deficient, which means my muscles react differently to injuries than most people. Yeah, so there's a lot of things you don't really think about, but then it was kind of like a perfect storm of things that kind of came down on January 14th at Evolve 10, when just all crap went loose and my back kind of just gave out and everything just went bad there. But luckily now things are getting fixed. It's a little irritating still. I think it's just something I'm going to have to live with until it fully is better. Like, the nerve damage is going to take a while to heal. Everything else is going to take a little bit to heal, but right now I got released from the doctor to wrestle again. Which I'm doing, which I returned to wrestling last weekend. I wrestled again last night, and I'm feeling okay. It's just stiff at times. Having 3 months off, I got to teach my body again to get beat up for a living. But it's just sore and whatnot, but nothing injured right now. So, you know, just if you see me before shows, I will probably be stretching like mad, which is what my new thing has to be. I have to stretch my back like crazy and do stretches for probably a good hour before I wrestle, but that's just a part of the job now.
Wow. And the fact that you came back from the back issue so quickly was such a big inspiration for me, and I know for a lot of fans out there, because, you know, I was going through physical therapy at the time, and I let you know this on Twitter, and when I read that you were, you know, within a month getting back in and, you know, train yourself back to get in the ring, I said, you know, this guy can do it. You know, if he can get back into the ring, I can go back and do my desk job. So, you know,
I'm glad I could do that for you, man. I really am. That stuff to me makes wrestling and everything else worthwhile. Like, I just released that letter from the fifth grader that her father sent me, and stuff like that. I can win a million titles. I can go to a million countries. I can do a bunch of things, but stuff like that is what really, really makes wrestling worthwhile to me, is being able to touch someone's life and being able to put a smile on someone's face or impact someone's life in a positive way. For me, like, when I was going through physical therapy and stuff like that, I always knew I was going to come back. I didn't know when. My goal was always WrestleMania weekend. Last weekend, that was what I was aiming for, because I love WrestleMania weekend. It's like Super Bowl. It's like Christmas for wrestling fans and people like ourselves. Basically, a day for me would consist of waking up and doing some sort of yoga, some sort of stretching, icing my back, going and doing physical therapy, coming home, icing my back, taking a bath in Epsom salt, icing my back. Like, it was basically just a constant day's worth of this, and basically what it is if you want something bad enough, at the end of the day, if you're able to get it eventually, then anything's worth it to do it.
Exactly. So, you wrestled in the last match in the ECW arena. What was that like?
It would have been a lot cooler if it would have ended well. but it was a distinct honor for me. And, like, a lot of people ask me why, when you knew you were hurt, did you go out there and try to wrestle? Well, for me, it's not in my DNA. It's not the type of person I am to just not try, to just not do it. Professional wrestling is what I love. Professional wrestling is my life. And to get the honor of being the last match in the ECW arena, the arena that has so much history, so much stuff, so many great moments have happened in that place, and to be the last match ever in that building, there was no way I was going to pass that up. If I could walk the ring, which I could, there was no way I was going to not do that match. Unfortunately, things didn't turn out as well in the match. I ended up leaving the building in an ambulance, but still, I mean, it's just not in my DNA to quit. It's just not in my DNA to not try. So I had to at least try, and I did. I paid for it, but still, I had to do it.
I think any like old school ECW fan would probably have done the same. It's just, you know, having that distinction of being the last guy to wrestle in that building. You know, that's got to be a cool honor. You know.
Yeah, very much so. Especially for me at 24 years old, like young guys like myself and Ricochet, getting that chance to do that was something incredibly cool for both of us.
Well, so we know a little bit about what you are like inside the ring. You know, I got to say, some of my favorite Johnny Gargano matches are, I love the Akira Tozawa match from the TPI Day One in AIW. And also, I think one of my favorites is you and Chest Flexor at... Guys Night Out 2, the Girls Night Out, I think it was probably four, a show. And I just love how Chess Flexor really took a lot of punishment in that one. And, you know, eventually when my wife ever lets me have the TV again, I plan on watching Disc 2 of Nightmare Before Christmas and getting to see the Dave Potato Dawson match. Heard lots of insane things about that thing. But who are some of your favorite matches? Because I already asked about your favorite opponents. What are some of the favorite matches? So, you know, if we asked Johnny Gargano to define his career in a few matches, which ones do you choose?
See, that's been always an interesting question because I hate all of my matches, so it's kind of easy for me to pick these out because those are the ones I hate the least. I'm a perfectionist with everything I do, so if there's one thing wrong in a match or something I don't feel went right in the match, I will hate it. So there's some matches that I do enjoy, and that would have to be me versus Akira Tozawa from Dragon Gate USA. It was our second encounter. I really enjoyed that match. Me versus Naruki Doi the next night, also in Dragon Gate USA, Way of the Ronin 2011. I think the Akira Tozawa match happened at Untouchable 2011, the night before that. Me versus Shima, and also in Dragon Gate USA, opened the Southern Gate. And then you have matches like me versus Josh Robison at Resolution 2. Me versus Josh Robison at Resolution 2, and me versus MW20 Matt Cross at Resolution 3. I also enjoy those matches. And then for sentimental aspects and for emotional aspects, I think me versus Yamato, where I won the Dragon Gate USA title, holds a big place in my heart as well because it was an amazing moment and an amazing night in New York City. A lot of my favorite matches, honestly, do take place in Dragon Gate USA. I think mainly because I get to be myself in Dragon Gate USA, and the Dragon Gate USA talent are amazing. The Japanese talent from Dragon Gate are some of the best professional wrestlers from the world. Everyone knows Akira Tozawa. He's amazing. Shima, he's amazing. Naruki Doi, he's amazing. All those guys are so talented. So a lot of my favorite matches happen there because I am in the ring with some of the best talent from the world, and I get to up my A game, and I get to bring everything I got in the ring that night.
I know that you've been a close friend of Gregory Iron for a lot of years. I know that he came up with you in the business. What do you think of his recent meteoric rise to indie fame?
I think it's awesome, man. Greg deserves it. Greg works harder than a lot of people know. He also has to work extra hard, especially given his ability to work even harder in the ring, especially even work harder in the gym. I mean, he has a great physique, look at that. If you look at a lot of independent professional wrestlers, a lot of them don't go to the gym. A lot of them don't work out. Gregory Iron has cerebral palsy, and he still goes to the gym with me almost every single day and works out. And, I mean, if a guy who has only one hand has a better body than you, so what's that say? I mean, come on. You got to, at least, it's a huge inspiration. He's really good for what he does. He's really good at working hard. He's really good at captivating an audience and having an emotional aspect to his matches. And, I mean, he's really, when you think about it, he's a professional wrestler's dream, especially a heel professional wrestler's dream, because if you're in the ring with him, you're going to be the biggest heel in the world if you do something to him, because he's the ultimate underdog, and I think professional wrestling really needs an ultimate underdog, and they can really get behind an ultimate underdog like Gregory Iron. So I think that's why people latched onto his story so much, and he has an amazing story. I mean, how his childhood was so horrible, and how he's actually not let that affect him, and he's let professional wrestling shine through and live his life the way he does. I think it's a huge inspiration.
One of the clips that I watched last night, Pro Wrestling Ohio, and Gregory had just come back from being out with a concussion or something like that, and you come out with a chair, and you just beat the holy hell out of him.
I did. That was really the first Chess Flexor and Dave Dawson and stuff style beatdown. I mean, people in the building that night, I mean, a lot of people know professional wrestling is what it is. It's entertainment. And a lot of people don't believe in that type of stuff anymore. But the stuff with me and Gregory Iron, the people in that building that night where that angle was filmed were legitimately upset at me. Legitimately mad. They were freaking out, and they thought everything was real that night. And I think that's really when professional wrestling gets to be the best it possibly can be, is when people are so captivated and so into a story that they really believe what's going on. And when that happens, you have them hooked. Because then they want to see Gregory Iron make his comeback, and they want to see Gregory Iron beat up Johnny Gargano, which we did at Resolution 1 that year. But I think that angle really was huge. Like I said earlier, he's a heel wrestler's dream, and me being a heel, not willing to do whatever it takes to take him out, I think people never saw something like that before, especially with a handicapped wrestler or a disabled wrestler that there aren't many of. So that's our angle, the way we pushed it over the limit, I think really was something special.
Yeah. So we know Johnny Gargano inside the ring, but tell us a little bit about Johnny Gargano outside the ring. I know that you're a huge Walking Dead fan. What are some of
I
the
am.
Other...
I am. I'd have to say, Johnny Gargano outside the ring. Johnny Gargano outside the ring and Johnny Gargano inside the ring are a lot of the same person, but... Johnny Gargano outside the ring, unfortunately, does not wear spandex and it does not half naked most of the time. I'm wearing a shirt and shorts right now, so I'm not wearing little underwear or kick pads. So that's really one of the main differences. I'm actually wearing a Walking Dead shirt right now, though, so there you go. A fan last night gave me Walking Dead, the first issue of Walking Dead comic book, which I have not had a chance to read yet because I didn't want to spoil the TV show, but I'm starting up now. So a fan gave me that last night. So if any fans are listening out there, you can bring me comic books. I enjoy that. But I enjoy The Walking Dead. It's my favorite television show. Other television shows I love are How I Met Your Mother, and Office is my favorite television show of all time. If you follow me on Twitter, at Johnny Gargano, you will always see me tweet something about Walking Dead or The Office or How I Met Your Mother or something like that. I also enjoy playing video games. I enjoy working out. I just started enjoying working out again. I got to a point, like when you don't do anything for 3 months and you can't work out, when you're able to start actually working out again, it becomes something amazing because you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. Because, you know, you can't do anything. You're supposed to sit on the couch and lay in bed and be in pain. So when I'm actually able to work out again, I actually feel good. I'm sure in 3 months again, I'll hate working out again. But still, for this time period when this interview is happening, I enjoy working out. So that's one of my answers. I also enjoy sports. I'm a big sports fan, Cleveland sports specifically. The Cleveland Browns, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cleveland Indians. I'm huge on that type of stuff. Just if you follow me on Twitter, look at me on Facebook, you can see anything I do. I'm very open, and I'm very out with what I like, so there you go.
Well, that's. I always know that during Walking Dead season, if I'm watching it on DVR, I don't go on my Twitter timeline, because chances are Johnny Gargano is talking about it.
So yep, don't follow me if you're going to watch it on play. You can't watch that stuff on delay. I never can because I can't stay off, I know I get spoiled, so I just have to watch it when it's on because I can't. But I don't even have DVR, so I make it so I have to watch it live.
Yeah. No, I just always love your warnings before Walking Dead. I'm going to be tweeting this thing live, so if you don't want to find out what happens, don't follow me.
I'm letting you guys know. See, I'm watching out for you guys.
Staying
with the DVRs and the technology.
Staying off Twitter to avoid staying off Twitter and Facebook to avoid spoilers is an art form. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, and even when you try not to, you hear something about, you know, some Walking Dead spoiler where you're like, oh, you know, I tried so hard to stay away from it and it happened anyway. But, yeah, no,
it's impossible. It's impossible. Especially, like, I have, like, I don't know, I add everyone on Facebook, so I have like 4,000 friends, and like probably like 100 of them. My timeline's going to be full of freaking Walking Dead, like, oh my God, Shane just died, or something like that, so.
Yeah. what are some of your ultimate career goals?
Career goals. When I was little, my main career goal, a couple of my career goals, was number one, I wanted to go to Japan, and I was able to actually fulfill that, luckily for me, and it was an honor to do that. And then my other career goal was to be a world champion on the indies. And being the Dragon Gate USA Open, the Freedom Gate champion, I have been able to do that. I always wanted to be the man of a company. I wanted the company on my shoulders. I wanted to be able to carry the company, be relied on the company, having the best matches and doing stuff like that. And that's what I'm able to do now. And it's a huge honor for me, and it's something I take very much pride in, especially in Dragon Gate USA, because I was in the very first match in the company's history, so I've been with the company since day one. I watched the company grow, and to be the very first American to open the Freedom Gate champion, when guys like Brian Danielson and Davey Richards and guys like that were in the company, to be the very first champion is mind-blowing to me. It's something I take incredible pride in. My other career goal, again, I think if you're a professional wrestler, I think in this business, your main career goal is to go to WWE. Honestly, I have not been shy of saying that. I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when I'll be ready to make that happen. My main thing, I feel, is I wanted to do everything I possibly could on the indies before I went there and I was able to be ready. Me and Gabe Sapolsky have to discuss this, and I say this in a lot of interviews. But the whole thing we feel is going to WWE and being a wrestler is kind of like being a doctor. You can't just start operating on people and being successful at it. You have to go to school and you have to learn. And being on the indies is kind of like going to school. Being on the indies is kind of like learning. So when you're actually ready, you complete your schooling, you're able to go and you're able to be the best doctor you possibly can be, and you're able to be 100% ready. I feel that's how it is with professional wrestling. You look at guys, you look at Brian Danielson, you look at CM Punk. I've always wanted to follow in their footsteps because they did everything they possibly could be. They were world champions on the indies. So when they went to WWE, they knew how to carry themselves and they knew how to be stars. I always wanted to follow that path, and I still do want to follow that path. So I don't know when I'll be ready. I don't know when I feel like I'll be ready to go, but you know, that's ultimately my goal.
You think maybe like guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryanson, Brian Danielson, sorry. Man, it's hard to go back to the indie name when you've been calling him Daniel Bryan for so long. But you think the success of guys like those in the WWE probably helps your cause in that, I would imagine, right?
I think so. I very much so think so. I mean, look at FCW right now. I mean, FCW is the best indie there ever is right now. I mean, they got Jon Moxley, Dean Ambrose. They got Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, Claudio Castagnoli, Antonio Cesaro, Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno. I mean, Sterling James Keenan, Corey Graves. They got a bunch of guys who have traveled around the world and done great stuff on the indies now there. And I think they see now that, you know, you can grab a bodybuilder and you can grab a football player and you can teach them how to do a headlock and you can teach them how to do an arm wringer. But you can't teach them to love professional wrestling. And you can't teach them to love what we do. Guys like I said, Tyler Black, Dean Ambrose, guys like that, they love professional wrestling because this is their dream. This was their goal. Their goal and the dream was to wrestle for WWE. You can't teach someone to have a dream like that. And you can't teach someone to want to be successful. You look at guys like Brian Danielson and CM Punk, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. They go out there every night and they try to steal the show because that's what's ingrained in them. That's what they want to do. For wrestling on the indies, they love to do. They love to go out there and they love to steal the show. They love to put their heart out in that ring because this is what they love to do. And you can't teach that, I don't think.
No, I can't tell you how many interviews I've heard with you know, guys like you've mentioned, like the football players, the bodybuilders, and they're like, hey, you know, were you a big fan of wrestling when you grew up? You know, I kind of got into it, you know, when Stone Cold was on, and then, you know, I just decided, hey, you know, I could do this and jump in the ring, and you know, you could tell in their voice they don't have the passion for it like you do, and it's cool, man, that you're trying to do it the right way, you know, go through the indies and do everything you can on the indies, get your name out there, and let people know who you are. Before you make it up to the big leagues, you know, and start wrestling with those guys. I mean, you have been on WWE a couple of times, which is cool.
I have been, yes, and it's always an honor to wrestle there, trust me. It's like I said earlier, it's my dream, it's everyone's dream, I feel, who gets in this business is to wrestle for WWE, and it's always cool to wrestle there, and everyone there is always awesome, very respectful, very awesome there.
Well, we talked about your match as the Liechtenstein champion against MVP and that story. You were just recently on an episode of Superstars in September of 2011, if I'm not mistaken. You took on Brodus Clay. That's why at the beginning of the show you kind of heard the Funkasaurus music because one of our co-hosts loves Brodus Clay, our usual co-hosts, and I was just going to, you know, bring this up and say, hey, see, you even get this in when we have an interview going on. But you wrestled Brodus Clay. Your name on the show was Joey Gray, I believe. And
yep.
It's always interesting to me to watch a show like WWE Superstars or even Raw or SmackDown when they have the indie guys on, the local indie guys. And they're out there. Your name is Joey Gray. We see the name Joey Gray on the TV, and it clearly says Gargano on your tights, so it's always interesting. But tell us how this match with Brodus Clay came about.
They basically just asked me if I wanted to do it. I said okay. Brodus Clay is awesome. He's really, really good. I wrestled him before he was the Funkasaurus, so unfortunately, I wish I would have got to wrestle the Funkasaurus. I'm a huge fan of the Funkasaurus. I'm a huge fan of Brodus Clay too. Don't get me wrong. I think he has an amazing look. He's really, really athletic for a bigger guy. But, yeah, my name is Joey Gray. I had no idea that was going to be my name. I was not told that. So I found out while I was in the ring and heard my introduction. So I had no clue what was going on at the time, honestly. I had no clue that was my name. But again, it was an amazing experience. It's always fun. It's always an honor to wrestle in front of crowds like that, and always an honor to be used by those guys. And I think, again, you look at anybody, you look at guys like Brian Danielson and guys like that, they've done plenty of matches like that as well. I believe Brian Danielson wrestled John Cena back in the day on Velocity. So it's, you never know what can happen. I mean, it's just part of the thing, part of what you do to get your name out there, and part of what you do to help out and help out the product. But again, it was an amazing honor and something that I like, something that was fun for me to do. So,
there was this little rumor going around a little while ago about Brutus Clay and Vince McMahon not liking his in-ring style. You've been in the ring with him. Is he as dangerous as Vince McMahon seems to think he is? No.
Okay. Not at all. Like, everyone was pointing out how much bigger he was than I was. But like I said, I wrestle on the indies. So, and people hit really, really hard on the indies. Especially, I wrestle Japanese men for a living. And Japanese men probably hit harder than any, getting hit fairly hard most of the time. It was fine. It wasn't anything dangerous or reckless or anything like that.
All right, so if anybody from the WWE is listening, Brodus Clay is not dangerous in the ring. You can keep featuring him on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown.
Please do. I'm a huge fan of him, so I hope they do.
And WrestleMania for a big long dance segment.
Right.
I'm more than a fan of that, but I mean, yeah. I'm a fan of everything else.
So, Johnny, I really don't have too much more for you. Joe, do you have anything?
No, I mean, it's been real cool talking to you. I'm glad to have you, to have had you on.
All right,
no problem, guys. Anytime.
I know that you got your plug in for your Facebook and your Twitter. And by the way, I have never seen a wrestler as interactive on Facebook and very interactive on Twitter as well. You know, you truly do. Come across like you appreciate your fans and you remember where you came from. You know, as a wrestling fan, that's one of the things I appreciate the most. What are your upcoming shows? Where can we find more about Johnny Gargano?
Well, like you said, I'm trying to be very interactive. I appreciate everyone. Like I said, I'm just a guy. I'm just a dude who gets to live out his dream and be a professional wrestler. I'm just like everyone else, except I put on spandex and wrestle half naked in front of big crowds for a living. I'm a fairly normal person. I'm a fairly normal person, and I try to come off that well. And you know, I mean, if, like I said earlier, if people see me somewhere, don't be afraid to come up and talk to me. I'm pretty nice. I like to think sometimes I'm fairly good at that type of stuff. So don't be afraid to come up and talk to me. Don't be afraid to follow me on Twitter, add me on Facebook, Twitter at Johnny Gargano, Facebook.com/TheJohnnyGargano. Regular Johnny Gargano was taken by some guy. I don't know who he is. So I guess I'm the Johnny Gargano now. I don't know why that guy took that name, but whatever. You can follow me on there. You can friend me on Facebook. You can talk to me. You can message me, whatever. Most of the time, I'm on Facebook constantly. That's because it's logged in on my phone. So if you message me and I don't reply, I'm sorry. I'll get back to you some point when I'm actually online. Please go to DGUSA.TV. or WWNLive.com to check out some of my matches from Dragon Gate USA. You go to TakaraPro.com to check out Takara, AIWrestling.com. Check out all those types of stuff. You can see me everywhere. Next weekend, I'm in Toronto for Evolve. You can go to WrestleReunion.com or DGUSA.TV for info for that. The next day, I'm in Takara in New Jersey. And at nighttime, I'm in CZW Best of the Best tournament. So it's a busy weekend next weekend for me. But like I always say in every interview, please go out and support independent professional wrestling, wherever it is. Even if I'm not on the show, even if I'm not there, even if I'll never be there, go out and check out an independent wrestling show, because you never know where the next Daniel Bryan, the next CM Punk, the next guys like that are going to come from. And for my money, I think independent professional wrestling is some of the best professional wrestling you're ever going to find in the world. Some of the guys who care and genuinely love this sport, go out there and support them. Spend some money. Talk to them. Support them. Do whatever you can. And just please keep supporting independent professional wrestling.
I think Justin and I both agree with that. We've both been to indie shows. We both love the indies. Me here in Buffalo. You're going to be 2 hours away from me, and I can't go because I don't have a passport or a way to get over there. So kind of sucks. All right, Justin, you got anything else to add?
No, I'm great. Again, we just really appreciate you taking a few hours out of your day to spend some time with us and just get to talk about some of your career.
No problem, guys. I'm going to go eat some steak now. That's basically my day. That's basically what my day is revolving around, is eating that steak that's downstairs. There you go. There's nothing else going on, really.
All right, cool. That's right. Better than what I just ate, so.
All right, well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Johnny.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it. We'll certainly talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks.
Take care. All right, for Justin Ruff, I am Think So Joe. Thanks to Johnny Gargano for being on the show with us. Our theme song for these interviews is Turn on the FU Lights by Largie Productions. And we'll see you again next week. Take care.